to talk to this reporter, and to, and now that I can see it, and where I see other these kids, just they just accept that like it's gospel. And if you say anything contrary, it's like suddenly you're a racist.
Welcome, everyone, U.S. Gray Sports Podcast. Doug Berry here with my good friend, Father Richard Heilman, and Joe Alger. And before we get started, we always want to make everything proper and in its right order, and we start it off with prayer. So I turn that over to you, Father.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, very good. Before we get started, we always want to start off, and we want to thank those of you out there who have been supporting this podcast. We cannot do this without you. Your help, your prayers, your support, your comments even are incredibly valuable to us. So thank you for that. I want to thank the patrons in particular. If you're interested in becoming a patron, helping to support this work, click the link below. You can sign up through Patreon, and I cannot tell you what that means to us and how it's helping us get this message out to more and more people. And the comments that we hear, Father hears them, I hear them, we get them through the comment section, we get them personally, are incredible, very, very, very helpful. And just to know that people are being impacted by this. So those of you who are helping us out, you're reaching a lot of people. We're joining forces, U.S. Grace Force, to get that done. Also, don't forget, the times are tough right now with regards to the challenge that we're getting, who we will kneel for. So don't forget, kneel for God alone. If you want to send that message loud and clear, we've got a couple of t-shirts out there. We're encouraging you to consider, go out to U.S. Grace Force gear and check it out and order yourself some I Kneel for God Alone t-shirts. And don't forget also, under God, we got to place this nation under God. We got to place this upcoming election under God. We've got to give everything back to God. That's our problem right now, is that we have drifted away from God far too much. And God is allowing us to have what many have asked for, and that is a world, a society apart from God. And that is very dangerous. So again, go out to the U.S. Grace Force gear page and take a look at the Under God t-shirt. And we've got a number of other things out there, coffee mugs, all kinds of stuff. Take a look. And when you order those shirts, again, you help support this work, help us get this message out to many more lives. So we thank you for that. And with that, Father, back to you, and you can introduce our illustrious guest tonight.
Yeah, so Joe Alger, you know, Joe, one day I was walking around the church, and all of a sudden I hear this broom, 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 and the walls were shaking. And I look out, and here comes a biker up next to me, and I'm going, "Who is that?" And I went, "Oh, it's Joe." You know, we've met once before, I think, Joe, right? And yeah. You know, I love the bikers. You know, most of them are vets, and they just do so much good for people, and they got a great spirit about them. And anyways, Joe counts himself as one of those. I want you to talk, if you can, what you did in Northern Illinois later. But it also turns out, and Joe, I don't even know if I told you this. Maybe I did, because we were together earlier today. First of all, we were together earlier today. Joe, you and I went out to the Wisconsin State Capitol with a, looked like about 100 people there.
Yeah.
And we prayed the rosary with it was led by America Needs Fatima. And that was mighty. And we got shouted down by a couple of protesters, but otherwise it was pretty docile up there. But and then we got done with the Hail Holy Queen, and I think the last word of the prayer, all of a sudden the sky started to drop down all the rain. But I call it the Dome of Grace, you know, when that rain holds off like that. So we were out there, anyways. But it turns out Joe also, we were going to talk about this too. You work with chaplains and in the military and help get rosaries to them. Is that right, Joe?
I'm privileged to be the director of military outreach for the Augustine Institutes.
That's awesome.
It's a free to chaplain where we give chaplains, military chaplains throughout the world. We give them, we have about 250 items they can get for free. And one of them was the Holy Land Military Rosary and numerous things, a lot of the Lighthouse CDs and things like that. Cause our chaplains are, Catholic chaplains are understaffed tremendously. So this is kind of, I like to say it's the kind of a force multiplier for our Catholic chaplains.
Right. Yeah. And I actually been working with a couple of guys too that I met last year. I was giving a talk and it turned out that the priest and one of the visiting priests, I guess it was, who they work with making sure, with the Holy Land Rosary, I think one of them designed it actually or something.
Oh yeah.
But Father but Nemo. They knew who I was and they said, the combat rosary is so awesome. And I said, I've always wanted to get those to the military. And then they kind of showed me how it worked. And it turns out that, you know, they're working with you with all that. So, you know, it's one God incident after another. But Joel, I've been working on this for a while and I don't know why the government was holding it up, but just got the 501c3 like last week for Combat Rosaries for Heroes.
Wow.
So now I got to work on a website and all this stuff, but the idea is that people can donate and then we just do cost of goods and get it to Augustine Institute for them to distribute out. I'm also going to make sure I can hit like law enforcement, first responders too with it. I know our local sheriff here, I'm working with him and I'm going to be getting him a bunch. He's giving me a number right now. And then also Father Z is working with I think it's the commander captain out in New York for the New York City cops. So we're going to try to get some to them too. So it's very, very exciting. And here you are with us today. Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, I know you do that part, but who is Joe Alger?
You know, when I I've been in AA for about 20 years, and whenever they start a story by saying I was born, I always know I'm in for a long, especially if the guy's as old as I am, 67 years old, I'm like, oh my gosh. But I was a cradle Catholic, brought up in a house of six children and cradle Catholic, and went to Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school. When I got into the Army, I was 18, I put all that aside. I was overseas. I went over to a combat zone in Korea, or DMZ, and I was there. Once I got there, all of the everything religious just went to the side, and then I just kind of went on a 38-year run after that. I mean, I was relatively successful, I was successful, but I just, one of those situations where I look in the mirror, I'd say, "Gosh, Joe, you're a good guy, but you're going to hell." And I was, you know, I guess I was comfortable with that. And I lived that way. I was, like I said, I was successful, had children, but I was an alcoholic. I was one of those, I guess you'd call, functioning alcoholics, until finally I had an epiphany, you know, just kind of a realization one day. So I got into AA. I was sober. And I kept, every time I would ride by that church, I had St. Thomas Church in Crystal Lake, I'd think, I got to get back into the church. And I just never knew a way to do it. But in 2007, when they had the election of Barack Obama, we got involved in the Light of the World retreat, and that brought us back to the faith. And now we've just been on fire ever since. And we actually are in an FSSP parish, okay. Latin Mass altar.
Sure.
We just, we went with the Novus Ordo until we got reintroduced for me and introduced for my wife to the Latin rite. I got involved with the Patriot Guard Riders back in 2006, and that was another thing that brought me back to the faith. We would go to funerals, and about 25% of all servicemen are Catholic. So we would hold the flags, we'd block the protesters, and then when they go in for the mass or for the service, there's really nothing for us to do until they come back out, the family. So I would go in to the Catholic service and I knew all the moves, but I couldn't go up and receive our Lord. And I just had that yearning to just get back into the faith. And through the grace of God, a friend of mine at the health club kept bugging me to go to this Light of the World retreat. And finally, in 2007, I couldn't dodge him anymore. And I ended up going. And life has been pretty wonderful. I've retired in 2015. I've been doing a lot. I do a lot of biking. As I said, we were involved in the Patriot Guard. We've always been involved in the military, and we've always been, my son was in, I was in, my father, my grandfather, my uncles. So I've been very supportive of the military, been on about 45 funerals where we've stood against protesters and helped to escort our KIAs. Probably done about 200 welcome homes with Warriors Watch, the Patriot Guard, and various military bikers. So when this thing kind of went south down in Florida with this this police thing, I thought to myself, our police are the new soldiers now.
Right.
We've got to back them. And I came back, got back here, and I've just been really irritated, and just wanted to funnel my energy into something constructive. And I called my friend Doug Jackson at Woodstock Harley, and I said, Doug, he's a principal over there at Woodstock Harley. And I said, we got to do something. I said, I'd like to do a ride, and we should do this. And he just said, let's do it. And we got the word out. And I got a look. I was telling Doug a little bit about how I got a, you get a look into small media, how they are really, they're really designed to cause problems. And I did an interview with this paper. And they knew that this Black Lives Matter was coming on the same day we were going to do our Back the Blue rally, but they never even mentioned it during the interview. So anyway, Saturday came, and these people just kept coming and coming and coming. Yeah. And by the
time I saw the pictures.
Oh my gosh, we had the entire parking lot of Woodstock Harley filled with, and we got some counts of about 1,200 bikers and about 100 people. Wow. In cars.
Wow.
And so when we went to our first police station, which was Crystal Lake, which was, from Woodstock, go to Crystal Lake, it's probably about 10 miles. I mean, and we got into the parking lot, and we just filled up the police parking lot front, back, sides, all the way down the block, and cars were still coming. And then it was the same thing when we went to the McHenry Police Department, the same thing when we went to the Sheriff's Police, and then when we went to, I had to do a little deal with the Woodstock Police because they didn't want us coming to the police department because they said, and Black Lives Matter was also marching that day. And it was just funny because they were lined up at a park when we left the Crystal Lake Police. We had a ride right by them. And it just seemed to me like there was only like 20 or 30 of them, and they're typical protein deficient, small, just and they just, when we went by them, it just looked like they just did not know what to do. But it's funny because the paper, really, when they took their pictures and they put them in the paper, that small, that little Northwest Herald, and there's a picture of like three protesters or four protesters and one bike, as it goes by them, they make that picture of the protesters look rather large.
Yeah, right.
But we had thousands and just thousands of people, kids, and just come out, and it was wonderful. And the whole community just came out and really showed the police department. And I suspect, my hope was that this thing would catch on, because I suspect that our community is no different than your community or Doug's community, where so many people would do the same thing. They would all come out, and it just took some people just to light the fire. And as I told, I was on another radio station, 560 AM, which was a very good, he's a really a conservative, African-American conservative. He's got a show called Black on Right, or Black and Right. And he was awesome because I really could kind of tell him. I says, I think once people get there, we're just going to be looking at each other and just so happy to see each other and just like, yes, we need to get out. And it was really funny because the paper that did the interview with me, the Northwest Herald, they were talking, and they said, one of the things she said to me, she said, are you going to, what are you going to do for precautions? And I said, what do you mean precautions? And she said, what are you going to do about the COVID-19? What safety precautions are you going to take? And I thought she was kidding. And I said, what? I said, like the Black Lives Matter people, when they wear the masks, when they flip cars over and burn down buildings. And I said, do you want me to take those precautions? And she said, well, when we had Black Lives Matter in Crystal Lake, they all wore masks. And I'm like, I was astounded. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, what were they doing in Crystal Lake? And she said, they were protesting against systemic racism. And I said, systemic racism hasn't existed for the last 50 years. I said, sure, it might exist, but it's not systemic. Well, they took that thing and just ran with it. I mean, yeah. That was on the Black Lives Matter Facebook page about the organizer of this doesn't believe in systemic racism. Kind of like, I mean, suddenly what? We all have to believe that there's systemic racism? I mean, the word systemic, I mean, to me indicates that it is like in the roots. It's like right. All throughout your entire body. I guess right. If you have systemic cancer, I would think that it's all throughout your body. And just because I said I don't believe in systemic racism, I believe it maybe at one time it probably was prevalent, but I think that we pretty much, I mean, I've been in the Army, I've been in business, I've seen what the mass, I've gone to college, I've seen the, a lot of things that are in favor if in some situations where we've kind of tilted it the other way to give some help where it's needed. And so the word systemic really, it just doesn't come to my mind, but to talk to this reporter now that I can see it and where I see these kids, they just accept that like it's gospel. And if you say anything contrary, it's like suddenly you're a racist. I mean, I just don't believe that there's systemic racism right. in this country. I mean, I don't believe there's been, but anyway, the ride.
Don't you think everybody's like frightened right now to say anything because the messengers, right? The messengers, I call them the influencers. They're all owned by the radical secular left, right? It's just, and so they push their agenda, and you better hop to, you better kneel, you better do everything that their agenda wants, or else you're going to get vilified. Maybe people are losing their jobs and all kinds of stuff. It's just crazy right now.
Well, the whole thing with, and you guys know, obviously you're in the know, but I mean, Black Lives Matter is nothing but, I mean, by their own admission, they're a Marxist organization. I mean, they don't hide that. I've gone on the website. There's nothing holy about their website. It's all about destroying the family. It's nothing. It's heavily involved with LGBT, and it's nothing about the family. It's nothing holy. It's Marxist. It's just Marxist, and the leaders are saying they're trained Marxists. So, and the whole thing about if you want to talk about Black Lives Matter, I mean, and Doug, I think you guys, it was your program, the one before this, about Don't Kneel Down, where you brought up great statistics about 37 million arrests, and only of that, 99% of them go smoothly. And but I mean, the numbers are, I think it's since 1980, there's been 260,000 blacks that have been killed in homicides, and 94% of that is black on black. And then abortions, when you talk about since Roe v. Wade, there's been 20 million abortions of black African-American babies, and how the abortion industry just targets 40% of blacks, African-Americans are 13% of the population, and they have 40% of the abortions. I mean, those numbers, if you want to talk about Black Lives Matter and you want to talk about deaths, how about 20 million, and how about 20 million through abortion, and how about 260,000 that are you know, in the cases where it's black on black, and 94% of that is black on black. So the numbers are astounding. But then you get, you know, a situation where, you know, and there's nobody around that didn't think that that situation in Minneapolis was terrible. I mean, nobody I knew said, oh yeah, that was needed. I mean, everybody I know said that was terrible.
But yeah. Anyway. And you know, Joe, that's one of the most amazing things about this whole thing is everybody agreed that what happened to George Floyd was wrong. It was, and no one, I didn't see anybody on either side, if you want to call that either side, argue or disagree with that. But it was a trigger point, and it's now exploded to this level. And now you don't hear a lot about George Floyd anymore. Now it's we've got to tear down statues because this person had a connection, right? And there was a rumor. And now John Wayne is being taken down Orange County Airport because he said something back in 69. And whether it was good or bad, you like it or not. And I didn't read the whole quote, but what I read didn't sound very good. But now we're going to demonize everything about the man.
Yep.
And that just keeps moving forward. However, and I just put a video out on my YouTube channel on this about, about a lot of these things. And a lot of my videos are, I think they're either being shadow banned or red flagged or what have you. But it's incredible how you put out things on Margaret Sanger. And Margaret Sanger documented, you know, that she said minorities, especially blacks, were human weeds and needed to be removed. But no one's going after her statues. No one's going after Planned Parenthoods, which are placed predominantly in minority neighborhoods. Right. And as you mentioned so accurately, the number of abortions, especially of black children, estimated over 1,000 every single day. And then we get into over Father's Day weekend recently, 104 shootings in Chicago alone,
right,
predominantly black on black, 14 dead. One of them, a 3-year-old child, one a 13-year-old girl,
right,
who was dancing in her home with her mother, and a stray bullet goes through the wall and kills her. And there's no outrage. There's no protest against that. So it's so easy to see that there's so much behind this that is about just destroying Constitution, our freedoms, undermining President Trump's reelection, the Marxism. You mentioned Black Lives Matter, and it's Patrice Cullors, I think if I pronounce her name right, who's one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter. She's the one who came out and said, we are trained Marxists. I mean, and we've got to keep getting this information out, which is, I got to say to the audience right now watching or listening, it's so important that shows like this, and there are many others out there that are doing this, get this information out. We've got to share these with other people. This is a battle for what's going on up here in the head and how it's seeping into the heart and how it's affecting our behavior. We have to know the truth of these things. We've got to share it with other people. And Father, you mentioned earlier about a lot of fear. I mean, cowardice, I think, is just running rampant. You know, there's a picture out there right now. I got a new video on YouTube about this. And you see this picture, and we'll see if we can get this up here on the screen. It's a picture of a female athlete, a soccer player, it looks like. She's standing, as you can see here, and all the others are kneeling. And this tide that has changed. Now, this picture has been compared a lot to this picture you see here of this lone individual not doing a Nazi salute and back in the time of Hitler. And I know that people right now are saying, oh, isn't it great? This girl's standing up. This is what real courage is. And I'm thinking, it is. However, is anybody deeply bothered and concerned by the fact that so many other people are kneeling now and going along with the trend? So many people are capitulating and giving in. I mean, we look at this guy, this poor guy who's not doing the Nazi salute, and God bless him. I wonder what happened to the guy later. I mean, because the majority of people out there who bought into that whole thing and allowed Adolf Hitler to do what he did, I mean, this was not some simple dog and pony show. This was a destruction on massive scale. What we're seeing right now, if we don't do things like you described, Joe, the protests, the standing up, the backing the blue, the motorcycle riders, to the people who stand around statues, as happened recently in San Diego, to protect the statue of a church from being torn down. If we don't make this presence known and show courage, all right? And this in the book of Timothy, Father, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7, I think, is the God did not create us with a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-control. I mean, we have got to get our act together, and we've got to stand up. All right, that's my rant. Go. Sorry.
Well, you know, when I went crazy for a while, Doug, too, when you're saying that, I kept thinking that, you know, we're weak right now. We are. And I've been saying this that, you know, you can go back to, for us as Catholics, you can go back to August 5th, I think it was. The Pew study comes out that says 70% don't believe that's the Eucharist anymore.
Right.
We've talked about that in the past. But so we're weak as Christianity. And then COVID comes. Now we're social distance from Mass, from many people, from the sacrament of confession. And I know a lot of people that decided during that time to get even stronger, because they built like a home altars, and they got more diligent praying the family rosary. They were watching daily Mass. There was that. But I think the vast majority were wondering which bourbon they were going to drink each day, you know?
Sure.
and just, you know, let the flesh take over. But anyways, so it's been like a perfect storm, right? Okay, we were weak. Now let's get social distance from our Lord in the sacraments. Okay. Then what happens? Then some dude in Minnesota, you know, kneels on a guy's neck, and the whole culture blows up. You know, it was a perfect storm. But to me, as I looked at it, evil erupted, you know, and it just exploded. And, I call it like a nuclear bomb. So we all did duck and cover, you know, when this thing exploded, right?
Yeah.
But you know what's going on right now? People are going, why aren't we doing anything? Why aren't we saying anything? Why aren't we? And a lot of people are still in fear, you know, that we were out there today, Joe, at that rosary rally. And, you know, people, it was just two people. Okay. And were they both women, I think, too?
No, it was a couple.
Okay. It was a couple. Woman. Yeah. But she, I don't know what she was yelling, but I'll bet you it was expletives. But she just kept yelling at us and yelling at us. And you know what we did? We prayed even louder, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace. Yeah. But there's so much of that where people feel they have license or permission to just be nasty toward each other right now. And so people are like, oh, okay. You know, and they kind of stay back, and what's needed more than ever right now is we're seeing how weak we are. We need to get strong, right? We need to get strong. And I want to tell you guys something, and this came to me at 3:30 this morning. I've been up since 3:30 this morning. I don't know if I look like it, but it was one of those things where the Holy Spirit was just like bum rushing me. I got my laptop out at 3:30 in the morning, and I started looking at dates and everything, and I realized that this coming Monday marks 40 days until the Feast of the Assumption. And on the Feast of the Assumption, and nobody's heard news yet, but it's going to be coming out shortly, we're going to start these massive, like you just had the biker rally, we're going to start these massive rosary rallies around the country. And we've got people who are part of all these coalitions and everything that are working on this as we speak. But I realize that Monday is 40 days until then. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get strong. You know what? Because of COVID, I've been away from the gym. I've been walking a lot. I lost like 25, 30 pounds walking. But I need to get back weight training. So that's the physical part. But, you know, I started looking at all those great daily habits we should all have. And I'm pretty good at most of them, but there's some holes I got to fix there. So I'm going to work at that. I get more time before the Blessed Sacrament, okay? But I'm going to spend this 40 days getting strong, because I think that's what we all need to do right now. You know, we're weak, we're vulnerable. You know, there's a scripture passage, Peter, letter to Peter, where it says, be on alert, for the lion is, he's prowling like a lion, looking for someone to devour. Well, what do lions do? They size up the herd to try to find the weakest among the herd. And that's what they do. They go after that person. We're being devoured right now by a mob that feels it has license, feels it's their time. I've been saying this. I think evil feels it's his time or her time, whatever, evil's time, all right? This is a lot like Lepanto, where Christianity got real weak then, and then the enemy came. He said, we're going to deal the last blow to Christianity. I believe evil has that kind of arrogance right now. Nobody's going to stop me. No one's going to get in my way. So I'm just going to take, and I'm just going to insist on this. We'll just tear down this statue. We'll just change this name. We'll just do this. We'll enact this law. Evil feels it's their time right now. And I think the thing that we need more than ever is for people to start saying, I need to work diligently on my spiritual life and even my physical life, because, you know, we get slothful and then the spiritual life suffers too. But I need to get strong. Don't you think, Joe?
Oh, definitely, Father. And I just think that, men in the Catholic Church, I think the Catholic Church has been, it's been sissified. I mean, I believe that it's been sissified, and it's just been, we've been promoting women into these positions where, I mean, they've just come forward. So there is no male real other than the priest, and that in some cases that's been watered down whenever possible. But I think that just, you know, men just need to stand up and show like you guys do, and show to the younger kids, their children, and the other younger children in the parish, that men are the ones that have to come forward at this time.
Yeah, but not to be brute or violent or anything like that, right? You know, because that's what the world does.
Right.
You know, the other thing I noticed at 3:30 in the morning, I said, okay, this weekend is 4th of July, right? It's Saturday. I said, what's the Sunday readings? You know what they are? He said, come to me, all you who are weary, and find life burdensome, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light, okay? Learn from me. And here it is. Here's the strength of a Christian man. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You know who I think of when I think of meek and humble of heart? The military or all first responders, police. Why? Because they follow orders, okay? They're meek actually is, I always talk about, they bring wild horses down from the hills and they train them so at the tap of a rider's heel, they stop on a dime. They said the horse is meek. That's what meek means. And that's the same with us. At the Lord's command, okay? Whatever you want, God, I'll do it, right? And I'll obey a legitimate authority too, right? That's the strength of a Christian man. And humble means, you know, you see something that somebody needs something, you take care of it. I'll bet you money that every one of those guys on those bikes, those 1,200 guys this weekend, would stop instantly if they saw a man, you know, starving on the side of the road, or saw, you know, somebody beating up another person. They have to do it. They have to do it. Why? Because they're humble. In other words, they're not selfish. You know who the mob is most threatened by? This mob that's trying to take over right now? You know who they're most threatened by? They're threatened by Christians, police, and soldiers. Okay? Why? Because they're the most altruistic, while the mob is narcissistic. Okay? That's what strength, the altruistic, selflessness. I mean, my goodness, I got a friend that just, you know, he'd leave 3 months, you know, because he's in the guard, okay? He has to go overseas for 3 months. And the wife and the children just go, yep, it's your duty. You're going to go do it. Okay, yep, it's my duty. I got to leave my family for 3 months. I mean, that's amazing, you know? Or the police that put that vest on every morning and that, you know, the gun on their side, and they know that they might not come home, you know, to their loved ones that night. That's a humble man. He's humbled before greater causes, greater nobility, greater honor, okay? That it means, and that means protecting people, making people safe, right? Yeah, cool. That's the way I love the quote from Ronald Reagan, where he says, peace through strength. Peace through strength. He says, weakness only invites aggression, right? Weakness only invites aggression. Look at the aggression that's all around us right now. Look at it, because we're weak. We need to become strong. And again, not that, you know, brute, okay, kind of strong, but that strength and character, that strength and courage, right? And that strength and charity to our neighbor. You know, and that's what's good. That's the light that's going to push out the darkness.
Well, Father, the thing that struck me was there's so many things about the Communist Revolution in 1917, but the first thing that, or one of the first things before they went after Christianity was, I believe they went after the police force. And so, I mean, to me, it's
signs of strength.
Right.
Exactly. To make them weak.
So, I mean, for those reasons alone, I mean, then of course they went for the church first. So, I mean, and now, as you said, with the statues, but now is a time for us to stand up and to, you know, not to wait for someone else. I mean, I came from Florida to come up here to, you know, and I organized this thing, but these things can happen by, you know, people can just take the lead. I mean, men can take the lead and hook up with, you know, with other men to stand.
I've got a group of guys in my area right now, and they've been keeping me informed, and I might join them too, but you know what they're doing? They're getting organized so they can stand in front of the Catholic churches that are most in harm's way, or the statuary from the Catholic churches that are most in harm's way with all of this destruction that's going on right now. That's amazing. And I know these guys too. I know every last one of them, and they are meek and humble. They're just amazing guys, but that makes them incredibly strong because they're like that.
Well, I mean, I saw it with the Patriot Guard when these protesters would come out and they would hold signs up, and when they'd go to funerals and they would come and hold signs up that say "God loves dead soldiers" and thank God your soldier's dead, and they would stand there and hold those signs up at the funerals, at the wakes and at the funerals, and these men, they were bikers, and they started the group, the Patriot Guard, just to come out and block these guys, not to get physical, just to stand and just to turn their back, hold the flag, and block these protesters, just to block them. And that thing caught on, and I suspect that with a little bit of work, what we did for these police on Saturday, that could catch on just like that.
Yeah, it should.
And then the other thing with the statues could also catch on, I believe, with the getting the word out to that, you know, we're going to stand and we're going to stand, and we're not going to tolerate it.
Yeah, I'd like to add to this, you know, what you're both saying about the strength of a man. And, you know, I've been saying this for a long time, and here in Tyler, Texas, I've been working with a group of guys for quite a while before all this happened, before this Chinese coronavirus hit and everything got locked down. And we were doing regular Wednesday night workouts. So we'd get a little physical training, and then we'd do just a little bit of self-defense and really trying to prep the mind and the attitude to understand that you want to be prepared to handle whatever God may allow to come your way. But the first step in any real good self-defense training, and anybody out there who's done it or been involved in it knows this, is you always try to diffuse or de-escalate a situation.
Right.
And the better trained you are, the far less likely you are of having a problem escalate and it becoming violent. So on that point, Father, the fact that you've got men you're working with, and I think, and I agree with what you just said, Joe, we have got to get the word out. That's why I hope people share this particular episode and all of the Grace Force episodes, because they're all incredible, because Father Heilman's on the show. But got to get the word out to as many people as possible that we need men to come together, start having, number one, start having the conversation with other men that you know you can rely on. And if you pick up the phone and call, look, we got a threat coming to the church, or Father's in trouble, or something's happening, 20 guys, 50 guys, 100 guys will show up and just be a position themselves as a line that says, you're not going to cross the line. Now that alone is going to turn majority of threats away, and then you don't have to get into any altercation.
Exactly. But
along with that, we do have to have enough training to know what to do if the bad guys want to escalate it. And this is something we can't just passively lay down. Look, if someone kicks in my front door, I'm going to try to make a stand, but I also have to know what to do in case the bad guy isn't going to just walk away.
That's right.
But our chances of it escalating are so much less if we are trained and if we have a group of men that are willing to come together. Yeah. But if we don't start having these conversations and organizing, because look, Jim over here, Bill here, Lawrence, all these guys, oh yeah, I'm ready to go. But no one knows who's going to pick up the phone and make the call. And then when you get there, how do you position yourself so that it's the safest way for everybody involved? And this is something I know because I've seen comments on my Facebook page when I put out a post regarding anything like this. There are women out there that are clamoring for men, as you mentioned, Joe, to step up and be men.
Right.
That God has called us to be and not be cowards, to get strong. And we've got to get strong in the Lord, but that involves also physically being prepared to come together as a unit, as a team, to work together, to just let the threat know, not here, not on my watch.
Yep.
Well, we saw that today, Father, when we had those, she was a whack job. I mean, she really was.
She just kept yelling. Oh,
but that one gentleman, that one young man, he walked down there. I mean, he was in the suit. He was with the, I don't know where the group was, but he walked down and just, obviously he had training. He knew exactly how to handle the situation. He didn't escalate it. He just stood there. I don't know what he said, but
yeah.
He directed her comments to him. And I mean, she didn't stop us one bit. We just kept going. And then the gentleman that was with her, obviously, boy, I kept thinking, man, how'd you like to be married to her? But I mean, the situation just kind of de-escalated, and she was a whack job.
Yeah. It's everything's escalated right now. I mean, you just have that sense that everything's escalated right now. That's why I keep saying that this evil that erupted, it's rage and it's division. You know, that's why we need to get united. I said that earlier, but everybody get ready. Okay, you're going to hear about this, but we are going to unite Catholics from across America. You know, no matter what kind of Catholic you want to be we're going to have everybody come out. And what are we going to do? You know, we're not going to sit there and scream in people's faces or, you know, flip the bird or anything. We're going to hold our rosaries. We're going to trust in God, you know, and we're going to be that peaceful presence out there. You know, what we on Corpus Christi Sunday, we processed our Lord right in the same place, Joe, you and I were today. We had a benediction of the Blessed Sacrament about where you and I were standing, okay? And but we actually processed two blocks up to that point on State Street, notorious State Street, where the riots in the 60s and now, right now, have happened. You saw the boarded up stores all around us with all the graffiti on it and everything. We processed our Lord right by that. And you guys, I saw women with tears, wiping tears out of their eyes, onlookers. I saw a couple of people do the sign of the cross. But there was just this sense of relief, you know, that the Prince of Peace was here. In so much violence and so much chaos and so much, you know, just evil that was present, that the Prince of Peace came here, and they were relieved at that point. We need to do more of that. We have to bring Our Lady and Our Lord out into the public, and we have to call for peace. You know, that's the name of this this initiative that we're going to be doing from August 15th until October 31st, which is the Eve of All Saints. Every Saturday, that's 12 of them, we're going to be at different spots around the United States. And it's called the Rosary Crusade for Peace. The Rosary Crusade for Peace. And we're going to call upon Our Lady, especially in the name of Queen of Peace, Regina Pacis. But I think people are longing for peace, just like those people who looked on Corpus Christi on State Street going, oh, you can almost feel like, oh, you know, a sign of peace, a sign of peace. We desperately need that right now. Well, and that's what I keep saying too, is that's what strength is, to be that presence of peace in the world.
Well, and I would add to that the fact that there are a lot of people who are maybe older generations. I mean, Joe, you said you were in the Korean War, was it?
Good God, no, I'm not.
No,
I was there in 72 and 73.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know. Sorry, I didn't want to date you too old then. Sorry about that.
God, I'd be about 85 right now or 90.
Well, that's what I was wondering. You look really good. I thought you said Korea. I'm then this guy, whatever.
You did mention Korea.
Keep talking, Doug.
You did mention Korea.
But I know
that war has never, it isn't over yet, you know.
Oh, I know, yeah. But I, you know, the point though is that you were all old enough to remember, you know, the Cold War and the times when, you know, whether it was Vietnam and what have you, when you're old enough, you recognize where all of this can go very quickly. And, you know, this is something I've done a lot of research and talked a lot about the apparitions of Our Lady of Rwanda when she appeared from 81 to 89, yeah, to three different visionaries over there. And in 82, she showed the children, these young teenagers roughly, the vision of the genocide that would take place. And it took place 12 years later in 1994. And nearly a million people died in this civil war between the Tutsis and the Hutus. And the brutality of what took place was just off the charts. It was unbelievably devastating and brutal. And when you look at how things unfolded with propaganda and the way things were just being communicated, it just set the tone for something to explode. And like you said, Father, earlier, it's like a perfect storm scenario.
Right.
And so when you study these things, or when you live long enough to know, you realize this could get far worse than what we're seeing now. So, Father, on that point, you're going through the streets and you see people in tears. Some of them, yeah, they're longing for peace. And some are realizing, boy, if we don't turn this around, this could get far, far worse.
Exactly.
Very quickly. So
there's a lot of people out there right now that are just saying,
yeah,
why aren't we doing something? We need to do something. There's an urgency right now. And like I say, a lot of people are recoiling in fear. We've got to bring the supernatural strength out into the world, okay? And our belief in the supernatural power of God, our prayers, Our Lady, our Lord, we have to bring it out and get it right out in the sunshine for everybody to see. Right?
Yeah. Oh, 100% agree. Yeah. And Joe, on that point, when you describe a bit more for people, I mean, the details of it are phenomenal. How long did it take to organize this recent rally where you had 1,000 bikers and 100 cars show up and all these people? I mean, how long did it take to put that together? How widespread was it? Was it sent out, the word sent out, that people responded so readily and so powerfully with that?
What we did was probably worked on it for about 10 days. I mean, maybe 10 days since we kind of had the idea. And then as far as getting the word out, we Facebook, I got some friends that have a lot of friends. And so we just, and then Woodstock Harley Davidson has a network, they said, of about 4,000 contacts. So they sent this notice out to probably 4,000 people, and in nice. Addition to the ones that we all sent it out to. So it kind of, and it just, I was, and the Northwest Herald put it in there, but I don't know. And then I was on the radio, 560 AM, Chicago station. So I would say, you know, probably about 8 days of real solid, you know, kind of handing out brochure, you know, little flyers and things like that. But it wasn't like a lot of, I mean, just a, right. basically a couple of Facebook posts and, you know, sent it out to the right people. They reposted it and sent it out to those people. Bikers have a pretty elaborate network of contacts, groups and things like that. So,
I think that illustrates, Joe, to hopefully the audience sees this as well. And I think we all know this, that this shows the power, number one, of what we can do when we don't wait for, because you know what, we can't just keep waiting for so-called leadership, whether it's political or clergy or so forth. Nothing against you, Father, but you know what I mean, bishops and so forth, you know, because we've got bishops out there who aren't.
Hey, wait a minute.
Well, we got, when you become a bishop, then we know you will take the mantle here.
Oh, please, God, no.
But we can't just sit around and wait is the point. We can't wait. No. You know, well, how come Father's not preaching from the pulpit? Well, how come the bishop's not this? Well, how come my politician's not this? Well, do what Joe just described. Get on social media, organize, send out some posts, and then show up. And this is what we've got to be saying more and more. We've got to just, like I'm doing, I called the guys up. I said, look, workout's going again. We're going to start training. We're going to have the get-together. We're going to start organizing. Then we're going to be able to let the bishop and the local priest know, you got a problem, you can make a phone call, and you're going to have 25, 50, whatever men show up ready to go. We've got to just start taking the bull by the horns. But we've got to do it the right way. Like you say, Father, rooted in prayer first. But then there has to be action, like you just described, Joe. What a great action, a call to action of getting out there, and it makes the point. And it's clear this is what hearts are longing for, to take action, to do the right thing, to preserve what is true.
Well, it was the same thing with the Tea Party. My wife was pretty involved in the local Tea Party, and that was the same.
Your wife is amazing, by the way. I got to meet her today.
She is. My gosh, it's just, I don't know. That was my gift from God, I'll tell you. An absolute gift. She just keeps giving up. She's wonderful. But she was involved in the local Tea Party, and she really organized the kind of the McHenry County Tea Party and got that going, where we had some amazing rallies. And of course, in the day of the Tea Party, when we'd go to Washington with Glenn Beck, we have a million people out there. And you know, it's just amazing that people, but all it takes is for someone, I mean, that guy that came out with the Tea Party, he just, you know, he started it, and it just, the ball started rolling. I mean, it just takes somebody with the guts to lead and just make a stand.
Well, at the time, you know, people were just, they've had it with, you know, the way the government was going at that time. And so it just takes, you know, a good organizer. I'm hoping this whole initiative to get people out and call upon God's supernatural power through the intercession of the Blessed Mary with Rosary Crusade for Peace, you know, has the same kind, it resonates the same way with people, because we need to pray. I mean, if the Democrats get power, holy cow, you know, I always say, when I grew up, when I was a little kid, we were Kennedy Catholics.
Me too.
But we went right in line with President Ronald Reagan, where he said, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. It left me. It's just a whole different animal right now. And it's just, it's everything that opposes the Holy Spirit. I mean, let's just begin with, abortion. And now they're talking, before, oh, safe, legal, and rare. Now, if the baby survives the abortion, kill it, you know? It's sick what's going on right now. And they're just pushing it more and more and more. Why? Because we're weak. That's why. You know, I don't blame them as much as I blame us. We're weak. We're letting it happen right now. We got to get strong, and we got to get strong fast, okay? And that's what I'm saying. And it begins by getting yourself supernaturally strong. Go to confession, go often, okay? I just had a priest here for confession, and I said, I'm good, Father. I went 5 times in the last 10 days. You know, why? Because I have a confessional in front of my rectory, and priests are coming, you know, to have their confession heard. And I, hey, Father, can you hear mine? But they're coming over and over. Why? Because everybody has a sense, we need to get supernaturally strong right now, you know, and we got to be in a state of grace, and we got to move out. We got to do it with the Lord. You know, that scripture that's next Sunday, it says, my yoke is easy, my burden light. Again, I think of military or anybody that puts their life on the line. You know, will they say it's hard? Maybe, but a lot of them go, it's my utter joy, you know, because they're living their lives for a higher purpose, right? And that's, when you start doing that, when you start doing things for the love of the Lord, it ain't that hard. It really isn't. I mean, I can't wait to start pounding weights. You know, a person, oh, it's hard, you know. I was going 3 times a week before COVID, and I can't wait to get back at it. It's so hard. Not when you love it. Not when you love the reason why you're doing it, you know.
Well, and you know what? On that point, Father, that was something, the famous Jack LaLanne, which I know we're all familiar with. Our generation might not know.
We're dating ourselves. I know Jack LaLanne. You know Jack LaLanne, right? I'll bet you.
Funny story about Jack LaLanne. 80%
of our viewers don't know who Jack LaLanne is.
Yeah. For some people who don't know, Jack LaLanne, his last name, LaLanne.
LaLanne.
Married a woman whose first name is Elaine.
Elaine LaLanne?
Elaine LaLanne, that's his wife. Yeah, pretty funny. But Jack LaLanne would say this when people would say, I don't like working out and exercising. And he says, you know what? I don't like it all the time either, but I like the results. Mm. And that's the thing about getting strong means that as hard as it is to go through the training, and I'm a big proponent of we've got to train every day, body, mind, and soul. That's the whole battle-ready message.
Exactly.
Train every day, body, mind, and soul. Be prepared, body, mind, and soul for whatever God may allow to come your way. But you may not like the training, and I don't like it either. I'm out there 3 or 4 days a week, and I'm working out in my garage here in Texas, and it's hot, and I love the hot part, but it's hard, you know? But I do it because I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I pray my rosary every day. Is it difficult at times? Of course it is. It's dry, and I don't have this great emotional connection, but that makes it more efficacious. When it's difficult and challenging, then we're showing God that we're doing it because we know that there's something deeper and more powerful behind it. The whole effort of putting the training into it, because we're better prepared that way. And anybody who doesn't see that, then you're not paying attention to the sports world. You train hard so you can become a great athlete. So no matter what the competition is, you're ready to go. All right. And we know what happens to the teams that aren't ready. They don't even make the playoffs. We know what happens to the coaches that don't train their teams right. They get what they call Black Monday in the NFL, where the Monday after the final season, a lot of coaches get fired because people won't tolerate not being prepared when it comes to competition. We should look at ourselves in the mirror, figuratively and literally, and ask the question, am I tolerating myself spiritually or otherwise not being prepared for what's going on around me right
exactly.
now?
Exactly.
You know, we've got to get strong, and we've got to
get
it
strong
in God through Our Lady. We've got to be praying that
rosary. Get strong. You know,
I don't understand why, with all the prophecies of the Blessed Mother, and I speak of the church-approved ones, where she has said over and over and over again, pray the rosary daily in Fatima of the 6 apparitions. The only thing that she repeated in each apparition was when you pray the rosary, you avert war and bring peace to the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
So why aren't we hearing from the pulpit, from the bishops, the priests, and every husband and father, pray that rosary every day because Our Lady has promised it can avert war and bring peace to the world. Maybe we're not seeing enough turmoil in the world to think that that's important. I say that facetiously, of course.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting, you know, there's a lot of confusion in the church right now. I mean, no offense to you, Father, but I mean, we're not getting a clear message. We have no leadership. I mean, let's face it. We don't have, we finally have some bishops and priests coming out and defending these statues. But the one thing I wanted to say is that we pray in Naples at our parish in Naples. We pray at the abortion clinic every Monday. We go to the abortion clinic between 9 and 10 o'clock, and I'm always amazed that there's not more men there. I mean, I understand guys work, but there's a lot of guys that are off that day or retired, but I mean, it's just and that's a great place to, and we have our priests there, our great priests there, full cassock, they're there. But we just had an absence of men that on those Monday vigils. And I'm always, you know, pushing for the, for the guys to come on out. But I mean, that's one way to just to get on out at those.
You know what it is, and I don't necessarily want to go down this rabbit hole. We only have a few minutes left in the show, but, a lot of men aren't in a state of grace, okay? So they don't have the energy to want to do what's right, what's good, what's biblical, what's the will of God, right? Mm-hmm. They're not in a state of grace. You know why? Easy access porn is the biggest reason. That's one of the greatest weapon that the enemy is using right now. And it's not just, you know, I go to confession and so state of grace. Well, maybe not, because you have to have contrition, which means true resolve to be done with it, okay? And so us men are weak. We're getting killed by Satan, and a lot of it has to do with the easy access porn that's going on right now. But We need to get strong. We need to get strong. And so, Doug, do you want to say anything more before we close her out?
Yeah, I can't emphasize enough, re-emphasize enough, the need for us to understand that this is a personal choice, meaning you can't just wait around for, I say, that heavenly angelic injection that some angel's going to come along and stick a syringe from heaven in your arm, and all of a sudden you're going to feel like doing these things.
Right.
We have to look at this with the intellect that God has given us. We have to use the free will that God has given us. We have to be able to look at historically what happens when we go down this direction. We've seen it. We know. We also know the warnings from heaven through our Blessed Mother and great saints from, I mean, the modern Fulton Sheen, soon to be canonized eventually when they work out some details, you know, to St. John Paul II, who in 1976 in Philadelphia told the bishops that we've entered the final battle between good and evil, between the church and the anti-church, the gospel and the anti-gospel. He told us, he warned us in 76. This is 3 years after Roe v. Wade in America. And now we've got 60 million plus abortions. Those are the ones that they count. And I think it's a lot more because I don't trust Planned Parenthood to count things accurately, obviously. But all that being said, look at the facts. Look at his historical accounts. Look at what Our Lady has said. Look at what great saints have said. Look at what Scripture tells us. Father, what you're saying about the need to be in the state of grace, if we're not in the state of grace, it's like having a weak immune system and you're much more susceptible to fall into many more problems. And then make the choice to do the right thing. All right. Yeah. Stop sitting on your backside thinking, oh, sooner or later, God will just give me the energy to do it. God will bless us with the energy, but we have to take the steps naturally and basically just say, I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to pick up my rosary. I'm going to go to adoration. I'm going to turn to the Blessed Mother. We have to choose to cooperate with the grace of God.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Well, that's what, you know, meek and humble, right? Yeah. Meek and humble means, Lord, I can't do it. You got to do it. So I'm just opening myself up completely to grace, you know? So, and then my yoke is easy, my burden light. When we're not in a state of grace, that rosary weighs 500 pounds, okay? Mm-hmm. You mean I got to pray 50 Hail Marys, you know? When we're in a state of grace, it's like, got my weapon, let's do this thing. You know, you know what I'm saying? It ain't hard. It's my yoke is easy, my burden light, when you have the power of God on you, okay? And you need to do that by being in that love relationship. He's my dad, okay? I'm his son, and we're going to do this together, you know? When you get locked in like that, in that state of grace, all of a sudden it's like, let's do this thing. You know, it ain't hard. It ain't hard because, and so I can't wait. I can't wait because I like I said, 3:30 this morning, the Holy Spirit was having his way with me, but I sat there. And so Monday, okay, that would be July 6th. So it's the Monday after the 4th of July weekend. Okay. So go ahead and have your great socials and everything. But come Monday, right? And this is for our country and for our church that we want to get strong, okay? So I don't know if anybody feels the same urgency I do, but we're going to start moving out, okay? It's like D-Day is August 15th. We're going to start hitting the streets with our weapon, our rosary, okay? But let's get strong to get ready for that. I can't wait. I'm going to the gym. I'm praying. I'm going to do the morning offering. Make sure I do the Angelus. You know, it's not hard. You know, just this good rhythm, discipline. This is what it is. It's discipline. You know, we're undisciplined. That's when you're weak, you're undisciplined. We're just disciplined. Okay, of course I'll do this. Of course I'll pray a day, a rosary every day. Of course I'll get to confession at least by once a month. You know, these are the kind of things. And I'm going to lay this out this week too. They're not hard. If you're not in a state of grace, yeah, maybe it's like climbing Mount Rushmore, but they're really not hard at all. So let's get strong. Is there anything you want to say before we close, Joe?
No, Father. Just I think the confession part was good. Yeah. That hit home. I mean, I think that's something that the Catholic Church is just not. They don't push it. And I never thought about that. Maybe we don't see. I mean, not that I'm in that greatest state of grace, but I mean, at least I feel comfortable on my knees saying the rosary in an abortion clinic. But,
you know, I told people I was talking to a group not too long ago, and I said, You know, I stopped doing communal penance services about, I don't know, 7-10 years ago. I can't remember exactly. But the reason why I did that, I think it's a good idea. You know, get everybody together. You got a bunch of priests. Isn't it nice? Mm-hmm. You can make me some music. It's all good. Except it conditioned people to go once, maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And instead, I stopped communal penance service and I built a 24/7 confessional in the front entryway of my rectory. Awesome. Okay. And I preached on it. And state of grace. You got to be in a state of grace. And so, my confessional, my rectory confessional is just, you know, during the height of COVID, I had to carry my phone with me into the restroom because the confessions were coming that fast. You know, I didn't tell anybody I was answering that call. But I'm just saying, the there is a sense right now, and I think this is the good part of having been social distance, understanding that, you know, 70% don't believe that's God on the altar. All of this is bringing us to an awakening at this period in our lives. And we're understanding we need to get strong. Right, guys?
Yes. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. It's right. Great being with you, Joe. Doug.
Thanks for being on, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, okay. You're awesome. I can't wait to work with you more.
Love to.
The rosaries, yeah.
Love to.